Fight, I'm Nidhi Razdan. India is witnessing student protests across campuses for weeks now, from Jamia to JNU, from AMU to DU, from Madras University to Jadavpur University in Bengal. India's students are standing up and speaking out and saying that they have the right to express themselves in a democracy and that they will not back down. But instead of reaching out to students, what we have seen is the might of the Indian state coming down on them with full force. Whether it was the police high-handedness in Jamia to the attack by masked goons in JNU a few days ago. This violence, in fact, has led to further protests. The protests, which started as demonstrations against the Citizenship Act, seem to have morphed into something else completely. Actor Deepika Padukone made a huge statement this week, driving up to JNU and standing in solidarity with the students. Today, however, Union Minister Smriti Irani attacked her, saying that she had stood by the people who celebrate every time a CRPF jawan is killed. And this is also what happened today. The Delhi police, who haven't arrested a single person for what happened in JNU a few days ago, named some suspects. Now, it turns out the violence on the 5th of this month came in JNU in two waves. The first was where a group of students, some of them masked, enters JNU's Periyar hostel around 3:45 p.m. on that day. And according to the police, JNUSU president Aishi Ghosh was seen in the footage in that particular attack. The second wave of violence came later that night when a masked mob armed with weapons attacked the Sabarmati hostel, seemingly in retaliation to the first attack. The injuries suffered in this second attack were serious. Aishi herself had very serious head injuries, so did a professor. Now, witnesses say that the second attack was led by the ABVP. But when the police today, for the first time, released the names of some of the alleged JNU attackers, the tilt was clearly against the left. Of the 9 people they named, 7 are from the left-affiliated parties. One of them is Aishi Ghosh herself. Only 2 of those named today are from the ABVP. And though the police, by the way, did not actually name the ABVP as an organization. The bigger question we're asking on the program tonight is whether students are the new opposition in India. Let me first go straight across to Kanhaiya Kumar, former president of the JNU Students Union, who joins us live tonight from Delhi. Kanhaiya, sabse pehle aapka reaction aaj jo police ka press conference hua hai, police ne abhi tak us shaam ko, 5 ki shaam ko kya hua, uske bare mein nahi bataya hai. Wo keh rahe hain ki ye ek retaliatory action hua hai 5 ki shaam ko, usse pehle jo violence hui hai, they have clearly named students jo left se affiliated hain. Aap is pe kya kahenge?
देखिए मैम, सबसे पहली बात तो ये है कि जिस तरीके से इस पूरे मामले में लेफ्ट और राइट किया जा रहा है, ये बहुत चिंताजनक ही है. होना ये चाहिए था कि कैंपस के अंदर अगर किसी के साथ भी कोई मारपीट हुई है, चाहे वो कॉमन स्टूडेंट हो या किसी पार्टी से जुड़ा हुआ हो, ये अपने आप में गलत बात है कि कैंपस के भीतर कोई वायलेंस नहीं होनी चाहिए. एक बात. दूसरी बात ये कि ये जो लेफ्ट राइट हो रहा है और पुलिस जिस तरीके से इसमें बात बोल रही है, ऐसा लग रहा है जैसे दिल्ली पुलिस का प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस नहीं हो, ये एबीवीपी का प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस हो. ये चिंता की बात है. तीसरी बात ये है कि बात सिर्फ जेएनयू की नहीं है, पूरे देश के भीतर आप देख लीजिए, अलग अलग विश्वविद्यालय में, अलग अलग कॉलेज में स्टूडेंट को आज सड़कों पर उतरना पड़ रहा है. कारण ये है कि कहीं ना कहीं जो स्टूडेंट की समस्याएँ हैं वो तो हैं ही अपनी जगह पे. फीस का सवाल है, जगह जगह पे फीस वृद्धि की जा रही है. FTII का एंट्रेंस का जो फीस है उसको 10,000 रुपया कर दिया गया है. IIMC जो मास कम्युनिकेशन की पढ़ाई होती है वहाँ पे फीस बढ़ाई गई है. अलग अलग कैंपस के स्टूडेंट, मेडिकल कॉलेज की फीस बढ़ाई गई है, अपने सवालों को लेकर के सड़क पे हैं. साथ ही साथ देश के भीतर जो राजनीतिक स्थिति है, जो राजनीतिक परिस्थिति है, चाहे महंगाई का सवाल हो, बेकारी का सवाल हो, CA, NRCI, NPR का सवाल हो, स्टूडेंट एक जिम्मेदार नागरिक की तरह सड़कों पे निकल करके अपनी आवाज को बुलंद कर रहे हैं.
उसके बारे में एक मिनट के बाद बात करूंगी, लेकिन मुझे आपसे आज का जो पुलिस का प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस था उसके बारे में आपसे इसलिए पूछ रही हूँ कि मतलब ठीक है, ABVP का लिंक हम भी इसके बारे में हमने भी रिपोर्टिंग करी है. आज एक और चैनल ने भी बहुत बड़ा स्टिंग ऑपरेशन किया है जिसमें ABVP के लोग खुद ही कैमरा पर बोल रहे हैं कि हमने ये शाम को जो वायलेंस हुई है, वी लेड दिस वायलेंस. लेकिन क्या आप मानते हैं कि अगर लेफ्ट एफिलिएटेड स्टूडेंट्स ने भी वायलेंस करी है, इफ दे हैव मिसबिहेव्ड अर्लियर इन द डे, दे मस्ट ऑल्सो बी हेल्ड अकाउंटेबल फॉर दैट?
देखिए मैं पहले ये बात बोल चुका हूँ, कैंपस पढ़ने लिखने की जगह है, वायलेंस करने की जगह नहीं है. ये वायलेंस कोई भी करें, ये लेफ्ट राइट के चक्कर में हम लोगों को जाना ही नहीं चाहिए। वायलेंस कैंपस में नहीं होना चाहिए और ये कोशिश करनी चाहिए कि ऐसे हालात कैंपस में क्यों पैदा किए जा रहे हैं, क्यों पैदा हो रहा है। JNU का जहाँ तक मामला है कि 75 दिन से आंदोलन चल रहा है, JNU में फीस वृद्धि हुई है, JNU में स्टूडेंट्स ने जो है क्लास का बायकॉट किया, एग्जामिनेशन का बायकॉट किया और वहाँ के वाइस चांसलर स्टूडेंट्स से बात करने की बजाय वहाँ पे उन्होंने कोई डायलॉग प्रोसेस जो है एस्टेब्लिश नहीं किया, मनमानी तरीके से सभी कमिटियों को नज़रअंदाज करते हुए वहाँ की फीस वृद्धि कर दी। जब स्टूडेंट्स ने विरोध करना शुरू कर दिया तो वो डेडलॉक की स्थिति पैदा कर दिए, कभी किसी से बातचीत नहीं की, किसी को जो है इतनी वायलेंस की घटना हो जाने के बाद भी किसी स्टूडेंट से जा कर के नहीं मिले, स्टूडेंट को छोड़ दीजिए टीचर से उन्होंने मुलाकात नहीं की, अपने कुलीग से वो नहीं मिले। तो ये जो फीस वृद्धि की गई है उस फीस वृद्धि के चलते JNU में क्लास बंद था, JNU में एग्जामिनेशन नहीं हुआ और हैरानी की बात यह है कि JNU के वाइस चांसलर ने व्हाट्सएप पे एग्ज़ाम लेने की बात की। वो हम लोग सुनते थे ना व्हाट्सएप यूनिवर्सिटी, तो वो JNU को एक व्हाट्सएप यूनिवर्सिटी बनाना चाह रहे थे। तो मेरे ख्याल से ये पूरा का पूरा जो मामला है उसमें एक सिटीजन के नाते, एक फॉर्मर JNU का प्रेसिडेंट या JNU का स्टूडेंट होने के नाते हम यही कहना चाहेंगे कि वायलेंस की जगह कैंपस में नहीं है। वायलेंस अगर किसी के द्वारा की जाती है
ये जो अभी प्रदर्शन हो रहे हैं, ये जो
और इसके लिए
स्टूडेंट प्रोटेस्ट हो रहे हैं, नाउ इट इज नॉट जस्ट अबाउट JNU, इट हैज बिकम समथिंग बिगर। तो आप इसके बारे में क्या कहेंगे कि ये अभी क्या चलता रहेगा? व्हाट इज इट दैट यू थिंक स्टूडेंट्स वांट? क्योंकि सरकार तो CAA को वापस नहीं लेने वाली है, तो आपको क्या लगता है आगे क्या होने वाला है स्टूडेंट प्रोटेस्ट को लेकर?
देखिए, CAA या दूसरे जो सवाल हैं जो देश में टाइम टाइम पे इमर्ज होते हैं, उसके साथ स्टूडेंट आंदोलन या स्टूडेंट्स उसके साथ इसलिए जुड़ जाते हैं क्योंकि उनके जो अपने सवाल हैं सरकार से, सरकार उन सवालों को भी सुनने के लिए तैयार नहीं है। मैं आपकी जानकारी के लिए बताऊं, देश में जो एजुकेशन की हालत है कि आप देखिए, जहां पे 20,000-25,000 स्टूडेंट पढ़ते हैं कॉलेज में, वहां 6 या 7 शिक्षक होते हैं, वहां पे क्लास रेगुलर नहीं है, वहां पे लाइब्रेरी की व्यवस्था नहीं है, लैब नहीं है। तो ये जो एजुकेशन के अपने प्रॉब्लम हैं उसको सरकार एड्रेस नहीं कर पा रही है, लगातार फंड कट किया जा रहा है। और आप किसी तरह से पढ़ाई लिखाई यदि कर लें, देश में 5.5 लाख इंजीनियर हर साल पैदा होते हैं, 1.5 लाख लोगों को भी नौकरी नहीं मिलती है। यह जो बेकारी का सवाल है कि 45 साल में अनएम्प्लॉयमेंट जो है सबसे ज़्यादा हो गया है, तो स्टूडेंट और यूथ के जो अपने क्वेश्चन हैं उस क्वेश्चन के साथ जो वो आंदोलन करते रहते हैं, उसमें जब कोई नया इशू देश के भीतर इमर्ज करता है, जैसे अभी CAA NRC और NPR इमर्ज किया है, उसके साथ स्टूडेंट फिर जुड़ जाते हैं। मैं जामिया के बारे में भी आपको बता दूं कि जामिया भी अपने यहाँ अपने सवालों को लेकर के आंदोलन कर रहा था, उसके बाद जब NRC NPR और ये CAA का मामला आया तो उसमें स्टूडेंट सड़क पे निकले और फिर जिस तरीके से उनको पीटा गया, उनकी लाइब्रेरी तोड़ी गई, उनके ही लोगों के ऊपर कार्रवाई शुरू हुई, तब जाकर के ये मामला
तो
पूरे देश का मामला बना।
प्रदर्शन तो कहीं ना कहीं चलेंगे कन्हैया, कब तक चलेंगे आपको क्या लगता है?
देखिए, कैंपस में जो अनरेस्ट है वो कैंपस के अपने सवाल तो हैं ही, साथ ही साथ देश के भीतर जो राजनीतिक हालात है उसके लिए भी जिम्मेवार है। सरकार जब तक कैंपस के इश्यूज को रिजॉल्व नहीं करेगी, स्वाभाविक रूप से जो है प्रोटेस्ट होंगे। अब अगर हम JNU की बात कर लें तो JNU में स्टूडेंट यूनियन ने साफ साफ कहा है कि पूरा का पूरा जो फीस वृद्धि है उसको रोल बैक किया जाए। मामला 300, 600, 500 का नहीं है, मामला ये है कि JNU अगर ये फीस वृद्धि लागू होती है तो देश की सबसे महंगी सेंट्रल यूनिवर्सिटी बन जाएगी। दूसरा ये है कि स्टूडेंट ने कहा है कि फीस वृद्धि वापस लीजिए और जो वाइस चांसलर हैं जो इस यूनिवर्सिटी को चलाने में बिल्कुल इनकेपेबल हैं उनके ऊपर कार्रवाई की जानी चाहिए। क्योंकि आप देखिए कितनी हैरान करने वाली बात है, फरवरी 2016 में भी कोई नकाब पहन करके आता है, नारेबाजी करके चला जाता है, पुलिस को कुछ पता नहीं चलता है। कुछ लोग आते हैं नजीब के कमरे में घुस करके उसके साथ मारपीट करते हैं, नजीब गायब हो जाते हैं, उसके बाद जो है उस बारे में कोई पता नहीं चलता है। CBI जो है इस मामले में क्लोजर रिपोर्ट फाइल करती है कोर्ट के भीतर। उसके बाद आज आप देखिए फिर से नकाबपोश आए हैं, सिर्फ स्टूडेंट के साथ पिटाई नहीं की, टीचर का भी सर फोड़ दिया, एक महिला शिक्षक का सर फोड़ दिया, बाकी शिक्षकों के साथ भी मारपीट की, फिर वो गायब हो गए हैं। और पुलिस, इसमें हैरानी की बात यह है कि पुलिस इसमें कार्रवाई करने की बजाय जो भाषा बोल रही है वो भाषा एक संगठन की तरफदारी करने वाली भाषा है। तो इंस्टीट्यूशन को अनबायस तरीके से काम करना चाहिए, वाइस चांसलर को अनबायस तरीके से काम करना चाहिए। ये वाइस चांसलर जब से इस कैंपस में आए हैं, इस कैंपस के साथ कोई ना कोई दुर्घटना जो है वो होते रहती है, तो स्वाभाविक रूप से स्टूडेंट यह मांग कर रहे हैं कि इस वाइस चांसलर को यहाँ से जाना पड़ेगा, फीस वृद्धि को वापस लेनी पड़ेगी और वायलेंस में जो भी लोग जिम्मेवार हैं उनके ऊपर निष्पक्ष जांच करके अनबायस जो है इंक्वायरी करके कार्रवाई करनी पड़ेगी।
ऑलराइट कन्हैया कुमार, थैंक्स अ लॉट फॉर जॉइनिंग अस ऑन टॉप ऑफ द बिग फाइट दिस इवनिंग। द फॉर्मर प्रेसिडेंट ऑफ द जेएनयू स्टूडेंट्स यूनियन सेइंग देयर इज नो प्लेस फॉर एनी वायलेंस बाय एनी ग्रुप इवन इफ इट हैज बीन डन बाय लेफ्ट स्टूडेंट्स। लेट मी फर्स्ट गो अक्रॉस हियर इन द स्टूडियो टू मिताली सरन, राइटर एंड कॉलमनिस्ट हु इज कमिंग फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम टुडे ऑन आवर प्रोग्राम। मिताली, यू हैव बीन राइटिंग अ लॉट अबाउट दीज इश्यूज। Moving away for a moment from the news of the day to the bigger sort of messaging that is emerging from these student protests, what would that be? What should the government be listening to from these campus protests?
So Nidhi, the question you asked is, are student protests the new opposition? And I would say that they're actually old opposition, because there's a long and rich history of student protests across the world, including, I want to remind people, in India, where the student protests of the 70s produced what is currently the BJP. Those protests were so intense that they called for total revolution. The students today are a new opposition because the institutions of democracy are failing. They have been failed by the parliamentarians who passed the CAA. They have been failed by senior editors who have failed to check the government and have been cheerleading it or ignoring its misdemeanors. And it has been only patchily upheld by the courts. So there is a way in which these students are bringing back a kind of moral clarity that has been lost over the last 5-6 years. And a return to constitutional values that we have failed to uphold. What is left is the streets and protest that is self-generated and self-organized, and that's what's happening. They are largely self-run, and I think that's their strength.
And without any particular leader, Professor Amitabh Mattu is here. He's a JNU. He's from JNU. He studied there. He's been a professor for international relations there. Professor Mattu, what's happening to your institution? I mean, you tweeted about how sad you were about what happened when the violence was perpetrated on the students last week. Why is JNU being demonized in this way?
I think it's unfortunate, because JNU has stood for the very best that India has to offer in terms of both academic excellence as well as the culture of tolerance. And that, unfortunately, is being eroded and somehow, as you said, being demonized. And that needs to change, and that's why I'm here. Because I think the first pinnacle, and almost everyone has said this, is that we have to recognize that violence has never been a part of JNU's culture, should never be allowed to be a part of this culture. And that is the kind of minimum common agenda that we have to arrive at, that you cannot allow outsiders to perpetrate violence. I've heard stories of the harassment of families, including in the new transit house. You cannot, this is not the JNU that I knew of. Secondly, let's admit that public education anywhere in the world, whether it's in Australia, where I've lived many years, whether it's in Canada or the UK, is publicly funded. You need publicly funded higher education. You can have a debate about the amount of fees or the kind of needs-blind policies that you need to follow. But that needs to be done in consultation with stakeholders, with due process, with due diligence, and arriving at a kind of common understanding of what that fee should be. In fact, after this fees order was given, the HRD ministry set up the Virendra Chauhan committee, and they have actually arrived at what I believe from news reports is a modus vivendi which should be the acceptable way forward. Virendra Chauhan and all the other academics are outstanding academics.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. I just want to go across to Saket Moon, who's the vice president of the JNU Students Union. Saket, I want your reaction first to what the Delhi police has said about the violence on the 5th. They haven't gone into the violence of the 5th night, but usse pehle jo hua. Your reaction to that?
My first reaction to that would be that the Delhi police is basically, as Kanhaiya said, it did not seem like it is the Delhi police press conference, and or that they had done any form of an investigation. Because even the photos that they have put out, That is an ABB pamphlet that has been circulating. They have basically printed it out, and that is what they are showing at a press conference. And on top of that, they have charged the JNUC president Oshi Ghosh for being involved, for leading a mob of assailants, mask assailants, into a hostel. First of all, Oshi and I, we drafted a message, sent it to the Delhi police in the afternoon, when already we had gotten an information that a masked mob with weapons and basically sticks and rods had assembled. And we sent a message asking the police to intervene. So in the afternoon, around 3 o'clock, the message was sent to the local SHO. It was sent to the Joint Commissioner of Police, and no response. Why would anyone who is going to commit a crime, who is going to lead a mob of masked assailants, text the police saying that this attack is going to happen, please be there? First of all, that has to be inquired about. Secondly,
can I ask you one thing though?
Yeah.
There was that footage of Aishi seen with those masked men, right? And the police are saying that we have her on video in this attack on the Periyar hostel. Yeah. How does she explain what she was doing with those masked men? Because they were not hostile to her.
Yeah. See, I'll say that the JNU administration has been completely complicit in the planning of this attack, and that has come out in the public through the WhatsApp group chats that have come out, and the JNU security on the 4th January and the 5th January.
I'm
JNU
asking
security,
about this video of Aishi.
I'm explaining that the JNU security has been absent from hostel from 2 days. There is no signature on their attendance sheets, and this is very conspicuous that before this attack is going to happen, the security is absent. And when we got SOS messages that that a mob is assembling and it is targeting certain individuals, as the JNUC office bearer and as JNUC representatives, when there is no security, when the police is not intervening, even in the video, if you see closely, she's trying to stop with the masked people. She's trying to convince them, trying to persuade them, but they are not listening to her. And also, if she had to lead a mob of masked assailants, why would she not have worn a mask herself? I mean, if he had something to hide, why not hide it?
So who are these people?
That is something that should be investigated properly. And I think the Delhi police is not investigating that. A free and fair trial of all sorts of violence should happen. And whoever has, is responsible for the violence in the campus. And also, the violence that happened throughout the day and also before, on the 4th as well, they should be...
Okay. Abhishek Verma, would you say that needs to be investigated? You're from the ABVP.
Yes.
Now, the ABVP's link is also very much there. We've established it. There is a sting operation on another channel, as I said, that is running. Two people named by the Delhi police today. Yes. They didn't say ABVP, but they are ABVP. So, how do you explain the ABVP's role in this?
Before I come to your question, I would like to mention one thing. As Saket rightly said, that there were no security guards on that day. If this would have been a situation, I'm telling this thing to you, then Sambhavi, Valentina Brahma, Manish Jangid and other ABVP activists, they would have suffered too much more. Let me be very honest. There were security guards at Periyar Hostel and other hostels who came into the picture, who saved them. So, and second point is, what Delhi police has done, they have taken the photo from that viral video which confirms the presence of Sambhavi with other masked fellows. Another link with the masked fellows are, the link is like, if you go to 3rd of January,
I want to ask you about the 5th. I'm asking about the ABVP link first.
Yes, yes.
If you're asking me about
the two persons whom Delhi police has mentioned in their...
And there are more who have been linked through WhatsApp chats and other media reports.
There are two points. First is, there are two names. One is Vikas Patel. We are yet to confirm whether that photo is of Vikas Patel or not.
No, they put the wrong picture. That's how good the Delhi police
The second is Yogendra Bhardwaj. Let me tell you one thing. Yogendra Bhardwaj, yes, there's a WhatsApp group in which Yogendra... Yeah, Yogin Bhadwaj is the admin of that WhatsApp group. But I also want to mention one thing over here, that there's another fellow who is associated with Congress and who used that WhatsApp group to do some sort of crowdfunding. So that is yet to be ascertained. Now, you can't say that if somebody is admin of a WhatsApp group. And the other point is, he was the admin of that WhatsApp group. He is still the admin of that WhatsApp group, but he did not text it over
there. In Ladakh, the Union Territory there is asking admins of WhatsApp groups to register with the police because they're going to hold them accountable for what happens in WhatsApp groups.
If somebody is admin of WhatsApp group, he or she has to be responsible for that.
Right.
But he did not text over there. What I want to say over here is
My question is about the ABVP link. And Mamata Kale, it has been 6 days since this attack happened. Do you acknowledge that the police is completely incompetent, that it has not been able to arrest a single person for what happened in JNU?
So before answering to that,
no, please answer the question first.
I will surely, and yeah. I do that every time. Yeah. But before coming to Delhi Police, I would like to say that what is the aim and objective of a university or a campus?
Can you please answer the Delhi question?
No. Please,
the police question first. Then we'll come to the aim of the university.
Can
just
I speak?
Will you allow me to?
Will you allow
like
me to
follow.
Speak or not?
Yeah, but we'd like
Nidhi,
you to
will
answer
allow
the
me to speak or not? You decide. Will you allow me to speak or not? You decide.
No.
If you don't, then I'll keep
quiet. No, I'm
asking
you to answer the question.
It's okay.
Why do you think the police is incompetent?
The first word, you started heckling me.
No, I'm not heckling you, madam. I'm asking you a question and you are digressing. You are digressing.
If you don't want me to speak, it's okay.
All right, go ahead and speak. Let's see you digress.
I am not digressing.
Answer
I am
the
on the
question
topic.
Then.
I am speaking on JNU. I think the topic of today's big fight is JNU issue only. So
no,
I am
actually
I am talking about
protest.
JNU.
I
am not talking about Kashmir. I am not talking about CAA. I am
asking you specifically
I am not
on the Delhi police.
NPR. I am not talking
okay,
about
so
NRC.
You know we're going to go around in
so
circles.
So I am talking about JNU. So if you allow me to speak,
can
I
you answer my question?
Can I?
Yeah, please
begin
answer.
To speak.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. So the aim of a university is to meet the learning and intellectual ability of a individual. That is the basic aim, and none of this is happening in JNU. You know, when we see JNU, we see the student of left group or so-called
you're not
students
answering
chanting
my question
slogans of Bharat Tere Tukde Honge, Inshallah, Inshallah.
Madam, we will come to that.
Jari rahegi Bharat ki barbadi tak. Then we see
we will come
the
to that. Please answer the question what I asked
Saturday,
you about the violence
the
that took place on campus.
Students wanted to enroll themselves, register
I guess
themselves
you don't want to answer
for
the
winter session. But
makes
the students, so-called students, Nidhi, who call themselves students, didn't allow the poor student who really wanted to exercise their fundamental right of education to enroll themselves.
Right.
So what they do, they pick up lathis and rods and start beating up those students. Aishi Ghosh brings in these goons and they paid
so
stones as
no
a barrier hostel.
Link to the violence
thereafter,
at all?
Thereafter,
are you
they vandalize
so
the
you're not
server
going to answer
room,
any question that's put
room,
at you. This is a monologue
cut the wires
by Mamta
of
Kale.
Cut
Mamta,
Wi-Fi wire.
Answer the question.
This is what they do.
You have to
and
answer the question.
And thereafter, they start beating up, vandalizing each
what
and
about
everything
the ABVP
which
link?
Was there in
what about
in
the ABVP
so
link?
Is
I keep
the,
asking
is
you.
Is this the way the students I are supposed it. To behave?
No. I'm asking her, but she's not answering.
As far as police is concerned,
yes, thank you.
As far as police, thank you for keeping quiet. I would also say that as far as police is concerned, let me tell you, the same police when it had entered Jamia, where the VC of Jamia had come on record and said that at that time we had only 3,000 students of Jamia inside, but rest of the 27 people, God knows how did they come inside. You know, and 750 fake ID cards were found
I'm asking you about
there.
The fact
the
that the
few,
police,
few people,
Mamta,
police
if you could
went
please listen to the question,
the same,
I am
the people
asking
like you and all of you brought the whole city down by screaming
no,
that
no,
how
I don't
can
know what you
go
mean
inside,
by people like
they,
you.
They beat those so-called students.
Madam,
now,
I'm asking you about the fact that the police
case,
have not arrested
if,
a single person
case,
for the...
If police don't beat them
I am asking you about the
you say, what did the police do? Why didn't police Mamta, pick up Danda
I'm asking you
something
else.
The
okay, so you have clearly
so
devised a tactic that you will not
what
answer a single question.
This?
You will not
now,
answer a single I'm moving on. I'm asking Professor Amitabh Mattu. No, I'm sorry you're not answering the question. I am asking you about the fact that the police have not arrested a single person for the violence and you want to digress.
Thank you, Ms. Rajdhan. You don't even let us speak.
I'm sorry I'm not going to let you digress for the question. Amitabh Mattu.
Ms. Kale, I have been a faculty member of JNU for the past 25 years. I don't belong to the left. I don't belong or support any mainstream political party or any political party in India. I am been a member of the Free Thinkers. Your finance minister, Ms. Sita Raman, was also a free thinker. Let me say this completely categorically that I take offense to your demonizing JNU as a place where people don't study and that they work for the secession of any part of India or that they work for the breakup of India.
But this is what is happening
in the
past
few
years.
No, Ms. Kale, you please come and attend my lectures.
This is what is happening for the past few years.
I don't think
that. Since Kanhaiya Kumar chanted Bharat Tere Tukde Honge, Inshallah, Inshallah.
He has not chanted that.
And I also agree.
That has not been proved.
He has
not chanted those slogans.
JNU is known for that.
Yes, exactly. And one of you.
And it should happen.
And you have a student here.
Professor Mattu. Rods and stones and lathis.
Ms. Kale, you have students.
I'm sure you also agree
you have
it.
Students of the ABVP who are here, who are also in JNU, and they'll testify to the fact that you cannot be demonize on the basis of one person or one individual who may have said something, and I cannot bear witness to what that person said. JNU is known for its history of debate, a history of robust debate, a space for dissent. It's a sanctuary. It's a sacred space. And the reason why I've come here on television after a long time, because I felt that that sacred space, which we hold so dear, which is a national treasure, was violated on that Sunday.
And that is being destroyed
Professor
now.
Professor Jayati Ghosh is with us.
Point,
Professor
sir.
Of Economics is being destroyed from Jawaharlal Nehru University. Jayati Ghosh, to weigh in on this evening.
I'm sorry I missed the early part of the discussion, so I don't know what you've been talking about.
You can see what you walked in when we were talking about
So long as I'm not shouted down by just aggressive argumentation, I just want to make a few things clear. There was an attack by a group of armed goons, very clearly assisted by the security and the police and by the administration, because the lights were turned off while it was going on. They stood and watched while innocent faculty members and students who were standing around in a meeting for peace were actually attacked. One of my colleagues was riding a bicycle. He was hit on the head. His bicycle was destroyed. He was attacked. Another colleague was hit on the head with a brick. Another colleague was thrown down with a lathi, then kicked around until somebody shone a light on his face and said, "Nahi, ye nahi hai, aur." And so on and so forth. And we all know what happened to the girls. We all know what has happened to many people. This was not a clash between two groups. This was an armed attack on a group of unarmed people engaged in a peaceful meeting. Now, that's a very, very serious thing. That group then entered women's hostels, it entered men's hostels, did various kinds of violence, which has been talked about at length. They entered a teacher's building where young married faculty live. They attacked women there. They broke down doors. They chased women down corridors and beat them. Now, this is not any clash between students. This is a very serious armed attack aimed at terrorizing a place which you have been demonizing for years on the basis of what is now clearly established to be a false morphed video. Let us make it very clear. There is no evidence those slogans were shouted. That's a morphed video. Kanhaiya Kumar was not even present at the meeting at which this thing is supposed to have happened in 2016. So all of this has been done intentionally to create a public perception, which will then demonize a place, and then you can use it as a convenient thing to attack whenever you feel you can't deliver on anything else. You want to distract national attention? Let's go back to JNU and accuse JNU of doing all kinds of terrible
things.
I'll
let you catch your breath for a second, because I want to ask Mithali about that, because Pratap Bhanu Mehta wrote this incredible piece the other day about these sort of imagined enemies that the state keeps conjuring up. And is that, would you agree with that? That this is part of what the demonization of JNU is about. These imagined enemies that the state must constantly have in order to sort of justify or legitimize itself.
Well, Nidhi, I would say they're not imagined to the BJP. They are actually very clear. Intellectuals are enemies. Dissenters of any kind are enemies. People who oppose them politically are enemies in any case. But this is the first time that a government has made enemies of its own people at such a broad-based level. The first, middle, and last name of this government is digression, because they cannot come up with answers to real problems. There is, as you know, widespread unemployment and a whole host of other problems that this government cannot tackle. And the only way it has to keep going is to create problems and move from one problem to another so that people are distracted from the larger picture. In this case tonight, we are talking about nationwide protests. The advantage of what's happening at JNU for the BJP is that it takes everybody's mind off the fact that millions of people all over this country are deeply unhappy and are beginning to express it. Getting into the weeds of what happened at JNU, which is important and must be done,
is part
one
of the
thing,
story,
but
yeah.
It's part of another, you know, larger pattern of digression.
I want to ask Abhishek about that. As a student, let me ask you, forget ABBP and everything else right now, that when you see other students, aapke saath jo padhte hain, everybody,
when students are protesting in this way, we had students from Delhi University on our program, St. Stephen's, Delhi School of Economics, very bright, young, articulate girls, who just said that, you know, we are protesting because we do not agree with this kind of violence that was unleashed on campuses. I'm sure you would agree that what happened night in JNU, I completely agree with you. Anything that happened before that is also not justified. Yes, yes. If anyone from the other side has gone about indulging in violence. So tell me about what you think of your own colleagues protesting in this way.
Look, what I want to say is the march which was organized day before yesterday in DU, particularly St. Stephen's students came in that march, that was in solidarity for all the students, not from any particular ideology. So they came there because some sort of violence took place in JNU and few people got heckled, few were injured, seriously injured. So that was the march, and that march doesn't mean that was against any organization, and even they did not support any organization. First thing. Second thing is, as somebody was saying, the ma'am was saying, Jayati ma'am was saying, that there was a peaceful meeting called up by the JNU TA on 5th of January in the evening for the peaceful demonstration and for boycotting the violence. My question is, if there was no violence prior to that, what was the need to call that peaceful meeting? Actually, there had been violence. Number of times there were violence.
People have a right to have a peaceful, meeting.
Saying,
that's a democracy.
No, we should have. We have all those rights to gather, to associate, to go and say whatever we want to say.
I'm asking about JNU right now. I'm asking about a bigger thing on campuses.
That very meeting, which was called by JNU TA, was to shun violence. If there was no violence prior to that meeting, what was the need to call that meeting?
So why was it attacked?
Please trust me, I'm not supporting that attack which took place over there. That was very unfortunate. Attack on anybody, any sort of violence is not justified at any cost.
But we know who did the attack.
Ma'am, please, you name it. Anybody
ABVP who is people, we know some of the students, we can know their faces. I personally saw some faculty members.
Fine.
I could name them also if you like, with the people with the lathis, educating them about how to go about it.
Fine.
So we know who is behind the attack. It's not that we
do. You only said what she said a minute ago was the students who were there, who were pelting stones, who were carrying those rods and everything, they were outsiders. And now she is saying that she knows them. If they were outsiders, how could they
have done it? They were not all outsiders. People inside.
There were some outsiders and some inside.
Yeah, they had to be. Because they knew where they were going.
We have a lot of students from left also.
It can't be justified at all. If she knows who attacked them, why don't she name them? Why is not she naming them?
I have a simple question.
Certainly. I saw Buddha Singh with the armed fellows with lathis.
I saw Dhananjay.
People have seen Tapan Bihari with the armed fellows with lathis.
Now, don't do that.
Yeah? So we saw them. We saw these faculty members with the armed people with lathis.
That's my question. Did the faculty members who were injured on the head beat themselves? Did Aishi Ghosh beat herself with an iron rod? It's a real common sense question because she had serious injuries, Mamta.
Okay.
It's not funny.
Yeah. And first of all, yes, violence is not acceptable and nobody will endorse it. Number one. Number two, I've heard a left student yesterday talking on various channels. And when the same question was thrown at him how did these ABVP students got attacked? So, you know, what did he say? He said that these are the ABVP students let these goons in, and while they were hitting the left students, they didn't recognize the students or the team members of ABVP, and they started hitting the ABVP students also. So the same thing can go to them as well. Probably Aishi Ghosh let these masked students in, and while they were beating them up with rods and throwing stones at them, even Aishi probably would have been masked, and the same left student hit her. Same logic I'm using,
I am letting you complete this thought because if you see the internet tonight after what you have said, I would suggest don't see it. Saket.
No, but this
Saket.
Is what the
no,
left
no, really, I,
left
I'm speechless.
First of all, what are
I'm speechless.
Happened,
the
it is
left
wrong.
Has said
it has to be subject to fear bearing violence. But two things. One of the students who were attacked is a visually handicapped student. He is a Modi supporter. He said that I have voted for Modi, I support him. But these goons, they barge into his room, they beat him up. okay, along with the left activists, just because he had a portrait of Ambedkar outside his room.
Not at all. Please don't say this. No, no.
Yes, that is the truth. That is the truth. You ask him. His name is Surya Prakash. He lives in Sabarmati Hostel. You ask him if it's not the truth or not.
If you go to Periyar, secondly, there is room number 129. It has an ABB sticker outside that room, and that room was vandalized.
Secondly,
even Raju Kumar, even Ravi Vijay, let him answer.
And let me, all the digressions that have happened here, let me answer it very in very simple terms. The Home Ministry controls the Delhi Police. The Delhi Police watches for 2 hours. This mob is on a rampage inside.
It also escorts the mob out.
It escorts the mob inside.
That's
escorts
on camera.
Outside, has not arrested anyone till now.
Yeah.
None of the outsiders. And it has basically gone back. And it is basically saying that the students who are protesting, they are responsible for the violence. Aishi Ghosh, who invited us inside in the afternoon to stop this mob assailant,
she beat herself.
It was
up.
Herself. She beat herself.
That is what the student or representative of left was going hopping from channel to channel and saying this. What I said on your channel.
One second, guys, Professor Mattu, you follow politics closely.
Yeah.
Now, the bigger question I'm asking is whether students are emerging as a new opposition in India. Is that what you see happening here? Because this is not just about JNU, about Jamia. This has become much bigger than that. And I named a lot of the campuses in my introduction.
I live on JNU campus, so everything that happened within the diameter of 100 meters, so I'm a witness to it, and I can say that that was one of the most traumatic, and I have lived in Kashmir, as you know, Nidhi. It's been more traumatic living through that night of Sunday night than living in Srinagar through the worst troubles.
You have a double whammy.
Yeah, I can
Kashmir
see that troubles
JNU.
Follow me. But what the larger question is, it's clear that the young people have the energy, the idealism, and bereft of the cynicism and in many ways the kind of petty bourgeois mindset that most of us middle-aged, middle-class intellectuals have. So they can still voice the concerns of the people who are really there on the margins of our societies even today. And the BJP was to follow, as I think Mitali pointed out, its own history. The Nav Nirman movement in 1974 against in Gujarat, which it began through that, became the JP agitation, led to the emergency and finally the collapse of Indira Gandhi. It was the youth. Today's mainstream politicians of Bihar, Nitish Kumar, Lalu Yadav, Mulayam Singh Yadav.
Even Narendra Modi was a student leader.
Bigger one?
Narendra Modi was a student leader.
All of them were born politically, as it were, through that JP movement. And it's not just there. It's elsewhere as well. You can see a superpower like the United States did not lose the Vietnam War militarily. They've lost it politically because the opposition of the young against Nam and Vietnam and the excesses of the Americans in Vietnam was brought to light by those young people. So the BJP needs to recognize.
In 1974, nobody was forced to not register.
Yeah. It's not a question.
You need to understand this thing.
That's why I think
it's a bigger thing. You need to understand. What about not being able to register in JNU?
Nothing, whatever happened in JNU can't be seen in isolation.
You see, for points of event.
You're actually right. It's not seen. It is not seen in isolation. You're right, it's not in isolation, and that's why
JNU,
I don't think it's about...
If JNU wouldn't have forced students of JNU not to register, nothing would have happened.
Absolutely.
They started this thing.
JNU. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a bigger thing.
There is definitely a bigger thing. And we are seeing countrywide protests. It's not just the elite institutions that you mentioned. I mean, even the IIMs and the IITs are coming out. But it is small towns, it is colleges, it is district colleges. It's all over. We are getting an upsurge.
Universities and only 32, 33, 34,
now,
if you start naming them. Not more than 30.
The best universities in India.
No, and also
not every student of the best universities. Not protesting.
I am Bangalore, IIT Delhi, IIT Bombay.
I am myself a pass out of IIT Delhi.
JNU,
but not every student of IIT Delhi is protesting.
Madras University.
But you need to understand the number of students who are protesting.
Is it just by the number?
No, but can't if you ignore, look, even by numbers.
You'll ignore the rest?
You can't ignore,
you can't ignore the numbers. You can't ignore the fact that these are some of the best minds in the country. These are
in a university of 8,500 students, JNU, around 100, 200, 300 students are protesting and the rest of the students are not participating. Oh. You won't...
So,
you
won't lie. Would
listen, you? I'm sorry, I think this is...
No, rest of no, the fine. Student you won't enroll themselves.
You
themselves.
Number, no, if you just go by the Till number, this, the number of students have given exams. Even when the exam, the vice chancellor no, exam was made a WhatsApp
to complete boycott. He said, I agree. That, I second
you can give the exam
WhatsApp. But when it comes to the registration,
less than 10 students in January.
I want to move out of JNU.
Yeah, good, please.
Because it's true. JNU tends to be very self-centered, but let's actually think a little broader. We also teach our students to think out of JNU. In fact, the critical point now is that I believe it's a tipping point because people have actually been frustrated and unhappy for a while. But there's been a lot of fear. And I think the amazing thing about the young that I'm seeing everywhere, in Aligarh, in JMI, in everywhere, is that they're fearless to a much more significant extent. I think Amitabh mentioned that, that they don't have the kinds of constraints and restrictions that a lot of people have. The young are fearless. They are unhappy about many things, the lack of jobs, the overall economic situation, the greater climate of, shall we say, just distrust, suspicion, and even hatred that is being propagated. They intend to control so many things, what you
know,
eat, who you're with.
In the conversation I had with some college student yesterday, Mamta, they actually said that, you know, why has dissent, you know, when we dissent, that's what democracy is about. It's about disagreement. It's about dissent. It's about asking questions. It doesn't make us anti-national. Today, Smriti Irani says that Deepika Padukone is essentially anti-national because she's gone and stood with people who are happy when CRPF jawans are killed. So basically, Smriti Irani has sort of labeled everyone who all the students who are protesting as anti-national. Is that really a constructive approach? I mean, isn't that what a democracy is, where you have disagreement? Or no, is there some new normal, new democracy?
Did she say that Deepika Padukone happens to be anti-national?
She said she went and stood stands with forces who celebrate when a CRPF jawan
is
killed.
That JNU did that, you know. When Nexalite killed jawans, so JNU celebrated.
So you are saying they're anti-national.
Are you endorsing that in that?
I'm not endorsing that at all. I'm asking you whether it is right to paint all protesters. One second. I'm asking you something else.
You tell me that.
No. I do not endorse that, madam. Then, so don't press my words.
No.
And I will not let you digress from here. Believe me, I will shut it down in 30 seconds.
Just now you warned me that after today's episode, I should not be checking the social media.
Because what you said was patently ridiculous.
You just now on your channel, on your show,
warned me. I'm asking you a simple question. If you can answer a question, are all those students who are protesting in India's campuses anti-national?
This is called heckling.
I am asking. It's not called heckling. It's called questioning. I know you don't like to be questioned.
This is what it is.
This is called democracy.
Of course,
we
no.
are still a democracy.
I wish
you don't
I
want
wish,
it to
I wish
be,
we had
we
a democratic
are.
Debate.
I have a
today,
very simple
Nidhi.
Question.
I wish we had a democratic debate today.
No, you don't.
And you would have
no.
allowed me to speak.
You are speaking, you but you are digressing.
I'm really trying to make.
I'm asking you,
know, you
are the students protesting
for me
anti-national?
To speak. Wish,
yes
wish
or no?
It was a democratic, democratic
so are the
debate
who are
and you would have allowed me to speak.
Are
I wish that was happening.
Are the students protesting anti-national? Yes or no?
People who shout the slogans Bharat Tere Tukde
No, I'm asking
inshallah.
About those students protesting on campuses
students,
now who are not shouting
who celebrate,
any offensive
slogans. Jawans. All right. Students
so
who
say
she's
I have a point.
What do you call them?
But nobody said those things.
What do you protest?
Nobody has said that. What do you protest?
But by the way, nobody even said those things.
Nobody supports it in JNU.
Nobody supports it.
Nobody supports
it.
You think you can repeat that?
Was
so many times that it becomes
was
the truth
there a need,
but it's
was there a need in ANU to say Hindutva ki kabr khudegi, Savarkar ki kabr khudegi? Was it required in
has
the name of CAA?
Has anybody said that in the last one week?
Say it on the barricade, La ilaha illallah.
I'm asking about the peaceful protesters. I'm asking about the peaceful protests across campuses, not just JNU. Well, you know, you can't be shouting at me. You can't win. It's just constant digression. Abhishek,
please. Have a fair debate.
No, you don't want to have a debate. You just want to keep shouting at everyone. Abhishek, sorry, not allow that.
Abhishek, you're in JNU.
Sir, I have two questions.
No, you're also representative of JNU. Don't you find it obnoxious in, that everyone is characterizing that this is what JNU stands for?
No, this is not JNU. They are just few students who raised that slogan and those who participated on those in that particular event which happened on 9th of February 2016. And you can't generalize it. First
Thank
point.
You for saying that. Nobody is generalizing
but,
it.
No, you can talk
about just let all your
no,
let someone else speak. Are from the JNU. You also need to accept the fact that those are not academic excellence.
I live on JNU. I have taught in JNU. I have been a student of JNU.
I have
a
question for
you. We cannot afford to have such students and then talking about Bharat ki Parampara.
First of all,
can I please let Abhishek speak?
I have 2 points to make over here.
Then come to Mithali.
First point is, in the name of JNU solidarity, what happened in Mumbai? There was a protest in the name of Occupied Gateway. People were protesting and they were supporting JNUSU students. And then there was a poster, Free Kashmir. First
by one person, by the
by
way.
One person.
Who wanted to free Kashmir from internet restrictions.
Which not the Supreme Court also wanted.
You can't define it.
The Supreme Court also wants to free Kashmir, by the way.
What I am saying is, this sort of violence has killed this movement. This movement was going in a very righteous manner.
No, I'm sorry. Free Kashmir is not a violent statement.
Not Free Kashmir. What sort of violence took place in JNU has killed the
Free Kashmir is not a violent statement.
No, ma'am. That is not a violent statement.
But how come that's connected
to JNU
education?
But you can't say that Free Kashmir is trying to integrate India. Isn't it against Article 51A?
No, I'm sorry. Free Kashmir is what the Supreme Court of India has just said.
How
Free Kashmir
is a violent
oppression. I'm sorry to say, but...
Second point is, one poster in a protest. DPO comes to JNU,
is not the way you're going to digress from the larger protest here, because I know there's been an attempt to vilify an entire protest that is peaceful, by and large, by focusing on one poster. And by the way, that poster was not asking for anything secessionist; it was asking for freedom from internet restrictions, which the Supreme Court also has asked for today.
Free Kashmir doesn't mean internet services.
I wanted to say that one of the great triumphs of the BJP has been in the last 6 years to make perfectly ordinary ideas radioactive, to make them somehow poisonous, to turn the state apparatus towards going after someone who says something like tukre, which has now become something that comes out of the PM's mouth, which is an incredibly awful thing to do to the office of the Prime Minister, to make it spout this kind of street level rubbish.
And a responsible student says Bharat ke bade honge, that is okay. Our so-called leaders, be it Yogendra Yadav, be it Rahul Gandhi, they go and sit
in the next day,
those students people
and start shouting those slogans, and we say okay, Afzal Sharminda hai, tumhare kaam zinda hai, that is all okay.
You can express the most radical
ideas.
It is insane for a state to go after its students.
Can
for
you let
expressing
speak?
Themselves.
No, you should.
How insecure is your idea of the nation
if
a couple of students standing in a college campus are going to threaten the idea of India? It is really a very fragile idea of India and a very fragile idea of self. And I believe that I don't believe that it represents how many, many people in this country see this country or themselves. It is a kind of ghettoizing. The idea that you can say extreme things and not be sent to jail used to be all right. What has happened in the last 6 years? Why has it changed so radically? Why is the BJP so threatened by students in particular? It is. The government
is threatened.
And
Says who that BJP is threatened?
Well,
you
if
know,
you're
I
not
really
threatened,
wonder for
why
these
would
you
not
for years
comfortable?
Together
why would you
when
have
Rafal didn't
Uma
work,
Bharti
when,
calling
when
students
this
poisonous snakes,
didn't work, when
why would you have
Sarkar didn't work,
why would you have ministers in the government calling
smoothly,
students
when Ram Mandir
snakes
went off smoothly,
and anti-nationals,
then CAA got
why would you have
Rajya Sabha,
North Korean channels,
the opposition came on road,
why would you have North Korean channels calling out students?
Who's desperate?
As anti-nationals,
who's trying dirty tricks in politics?
All right,
who's
it is incitement.
As their political shield is known to entire world.
So students
and to the
are stupid.
As well.
They can vote in elections. They're adults, but they're being used as political shields. You know, I think that if you don't recognize what is going on in the country today, then we're really heading into some very dark days. Amitabh Mattu and then Jayati Ghosh, I'll let you sum it up.
Ms. Kale, India has one of the most glorious traditions of debate. I come from Kashmir. Adi Shankara, at the age of 20, went from the south in Kerala to Kashmir, debating with every scholar on the way till he reached Kashmir. Heterodoxy, Brahmanical orthodoxy, Buddhist thought, he didn't feel threatened by this pilgrimage that he carried on. You have to allow for that heterodoxy. You have to allow for a sanctuary like JNU where people can express the most bizarre ideas, because that is where how a knowledge will increase. If you believe in the spirit of Adi Shankaracharya, you have to believe in JNU. And that's why I'm saying it in the idiom that you will understand and you'll be very sensitive to it.
I have one last question for Jayati, which is that this is happening at a time when the political opposition in this country is actually weak. So it's amazing that the Congress, for instance, which cannot organize a proper protest against what is happening to the economy, is being given credit for somehow organizing protests against, you know, the government on the Citizenship Act. I mean, if they could do that, then they might have won some elections on their own steam. But that's snide remark aside. Politically, what does that mean? I mean, you know, for the future, because if these are sort of these uncoordinated protests right now, and there is no coherent opposition to give voice to them, politically, what are we looking at?
You know, we are clearly in a state of flux. I think, however, that it is in that sense positive, because we are actually seeing the emergence of new voices. We are seeing the emergence of new leaders. And you're absolutely right. These are spontaneous demonstrations occurring across the country, often in response or in sympathy with events that are happening elsewhere. They are entirely youth-led. I won't even say only student, but very largely youth-led, which means that the idiom is also very different. I think all the established political parties are caught off guard. The BJP certainly, but also the opposition. I think none of them really anticipated this. None of them has figured it out. And none of them is therefore, as you mentioned, able to even make good use of it. But in that process of churning, and I think where the younger generation is finding voice, where the leaders of tomorrow are emerging, I think that is really where we hope. I very strongly believe that the youth of India will save us.
I want to end this program by saying another anti-national, Raghuram Rajan, has said that Deepika Padukone's silent protest inspires us all. That's all I have to say tonight. See you again next week. Goodbye.